Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
It's sort of like this. If you have a bunch of hot embers, and you take a tong, and you take one of the embers, and you put it on the hearth or the side of the fireplace, very quickly, that lonely, that isolated piece of coal will cool. But if you take some tongs and you put it back in with the other embers, all of a sudden, it just goes back to red again. See, the enemy would love to isolate you. When you sense a distance between you and God, I tell you, do whatever you need to get back.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Have you ever had a time when you were ashamed that you were a Christian? Maybe you failed to take a stand for what you believe because you were afraid you would be ridiculed. Well, it happened to Peter. After 3 years of hanging out with Jesus, he denied him 3 times. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to teach us that it's at a time like that that we need to run to Jesus even more. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Peter, An Appointment with God.
Let's take out our notes as we talk about someone who bounced back. His name was Peter. Peter has a reputation of being ambidextrous. He could stick either foot in his mouth. He would always speak way before he thought. Now, how many of you, be honest, ever put your foot in your mouth and said things that later you thought, that was dumb? How many of you? Yeah, there's a lot of Portuguese people in here. Now, I do that, but it's genetic, you see. There's a story of a couple that did that. There were 3 couples went to a marriage class at church, and they were supposed to say something nice to their spouse, and they all went out to lunch together. And the first, a Japanese man looks across the table at his wife and he says, pass the sugar, sugar. And she passes the sugar, you know. And then the howly guy thinks, oh, I got to say something. So he said, pass the honey, sweetheart. She gives him the honey. And then the Portuguese wife is saying, come on, honey, say something nice like that, boy. So Mano, without thinking, he said, oh, pass the kalua, pig. We all can be impetuous sometimes. But Peter was overly impetuous, overly emotional. You remember when Jesus was going to the cross, Peter rebukes the Lord, and the Lord has to say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a pretty strong rebuke, because he just had a tendency to talk before he thought. And then it was in the garden when he was being arrested in John 18, and Peter, just not knowing what to do, drew his sword and just lops off the ear of one of these servants of the high priest. And the Lord asked to take care of that. Peter, put that away. Well, Peter has this reputation of just kind of going after people, you know, like an animal. And I thought, if there were an animal, I was studying some animals and looking at some things. I thought, this animal describes Peter. And let me kind of work my way up to it. Now, let me just give you a test to see if you can identify what they call a grouping of a certain type or species of animal or insect. For example, if there's one fish, when there's a grouping of fish, it's called a school, right? They call it a school. If it's one bird, but it's a grouping of birds, it's called a flock. Bees, grouping of bees, it's a swarm. That's right. Some people said choke bees. No, not choke bees. It's a swarm of bees. Dogs run in a pack. That's right. Geese fly in a gaggle. That's right. They fly in a gaggle. It's a gaggle of geese. Lion move as a pride. That's right. It's a pride of lions. Interesting. Here's an interesting one. Crows fly in a... Yeah, it's a murder of crows. Isn't that interesting? It's a murder of crows. And here's the interesting one that to me describes Peter. Rhinos run in a crash. Isn't that perfect for rhinos? You know why they run in a crash? Because they can run up to 30 miles an hour. They run that fast, but they can only see 30 feet in front of them. So when you can't see that far and you're going that fast, you're about to what? Crash. Yeah, that's rhinos. And I thought, that's not only Peter, that's us. That's us. What do you call it when you get a bunch of Portuguese together? mental ward. No, that's joking. But Peter, don't write me letters. That's just joke. Now, Peter is like that. He's so impetuous, he just goes after, says stuff, and then later on, the Lord has to rebuke him. But interestingly, Peter becomes the spokesperson for the disciples. He becomes a great leader of that church, the very first great leader. But his spontaneity sometimes gets him into trouble. And it does us too. And is a story of Peter right after the resurrection. He's a bit frustrated with his faith because he and many of the Jews thought that Jesus was going to deliver them from the Romans and the Jewish high priests and the Pharisees. But when Jesus willingly laid down his life, not to remove the Romans, but to remove man's sin, not to redeem them from the Jewish high priest, but to redeem man from his own consequences from sin, they were a bit frustrated to the point where Peter, after the resurrection, he was excited about Jesus. Jesus dies. Then he gets frustrated with his faith. So much so that in Jerusalem, he says, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go all the way back to Galilee, and I'm going to go back to what I used to do. You know, all of us are going to have a tendency to do that, to say, you know, forget this Christian stuff. I've tried. I've tried to follow God. I'm just frustrated with my faith. Now listen, if this happens with Peter, it will happen with us. But he's going to leave us some instructions as how to bounce back, how to be resilient. Because it will happen. If you don't understand bouncing back or being resilient, then you'll miss it. But Peter wanted to go back to his old identity. Funny though, when he goes back to it, it doesn't fit. It's not fruitful anymore. Because you see, the old you died when you gave your life to Christ. But sometimes in frustration, we want to go back and try to fit into the death clothes that we once wore. And it's not us anymore. But it's in that transition, it's in that tendency, it's in that proclivity, that tendency to go back, that you and I will find that we'll have an appointment with God. He loves us that much. And he'll say, that's no longer you. And Peter did too. But he was frustrated with his faith. And let's read at the top of our notes. First, just the first two sentences, and then we'll pause, put it on intermission just for a second, and we'll talk about it. But let's read the first couple of sentences together. Go. Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. Now, this wasn't an afternoon jaunt of fishing. No, actually in the Greek it means I am going back to fishing. The occupation of fishing. I'm going back to the old ways. And you know what his buddies, disciples said? We will what? Yeah, never underestimate the value and the influence of your faith. If you're an employee at a company and they know that you're a Christian, they'll watch you. Oh, not in a negative way to see if they can knock your knees out from under you, but they're going to watch you because they're going to find that we're not insulated from problems. But they're going to watch and see if there's a grace that'll carry you through it. And that you'll not succumb to it, but you'll be victorious over it. And when you are, they'll say, that's what I need. That's what I'm looking for. That's the kind of credible faith that I need. Not some idealistic kind of thing, but a practical thing that helps me through life. They'll watch you. Never underestimate the influence of your faith, mother, dad. Because it's how you live that's much more important than what you say. And it's very, very influential. The great pastor, Yong-Yi Cho from Korea, it was told me a story that one day he was early in his ministry, he was just so frustrated about his faith, he just turned to a friend and he said to them, I'm just so frustrated with my faith. I feel like jumping off a cliff. And his friend said, go ahead, but 1,000 will follow you. You see, we don't understand the influence of our faith. And so Peter says, I'm going to go back to fishing. And his buddy said, we're going to go too. So they actually go up fishing and they go back to their old ways. It seemed simpler, it seemed better, but it was no longer them. They had died and followed Christ. Their old person had died and they try to fit into those old clothes that doesn't fit anymore. But when that happens, the Lord sees what's going on and will not let them continue in that vein, in that drift. And there on the seas of Galilee, they're about to have an appointment with God. Let's continue reading together. go. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They couldn't see. They couldn't tell. They knew it was someone. Then this someone says, "Hey, throw your nets down on the other side of your boat and you'll catch a draft of fish." And they thought, "Who is this? We've been fishing all night. And one side of the boat ain't any better than the other side. Same ocean. This ain't like a left-handed boat or anything. Either side is fine. Put it on the other side. We've fished all night. We haven't caught anything. Just put it on the other side." So just to humor them, they said, "Throw it on the other side." So they throw it on the other side. It's like fish swim to jump into the net. And the Bible says it filled up with so much fish, they could not pull it in. Then what happens is this. They begin to recognize that it was Jesus. Well, when that happens, let's read this first scripture. Now, it's under number one. Let's read that scripture, and then we'll come out up and fill it in, fill in the blank. But let's see what takes place. Under number one, reads John 21:7. Go. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'Hey, it's the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea." You see, John Mark is the one they call the one whom Jesus loved, said, "Whoa," he put on his glasses or something. "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter put on, I don't know, his shorts. I guess he was in his bibbidis or something. I don't know. I have no idea. But he puts on his outer garment. It says he was stripped for work. And he doesn't wait for the boat to get into land. What does he do? He just dives in. And he just starts doing a 100-yard dash to get to the Lord. You see, every single one of us will have seasons where our faith will be frustrated. And we'll try to fit into our old clothes. And it just won't fit anymore. And we're going to have that tendency to go back. And the devil would love for you to do that. In fact, he'll give you many, many opportunities for that. And here's the thing you never want to get. That is used to being your old self again. You see, what happens is the enemy would love for you to sort of drift away, turn your back a little bit, get frustrated with your faith, and then you'll feel a little tension. Is it the Lord calling me back? I don't know. I don't know if it's the Lord with this tension. I don't know. And then what happens if you don't do anything about it? Watch this. The distance that was not there before now is. Now has a tension. Now it doesn't. Here's what the enemy does. He keeps you in this until you feel normal being away this far from the Lord. And then the tension is released. And then he moves you a little bit further. Is that God calling me? I feel like it's not right. And then he says, "No, it's all right. It's all right." And he keeps you here until this position feels normal. And then you're two steps away. And then three, until you're so far away that you can't see him at all. He normalizes you in the drift. And what Peter is saying is, don't ever let that happen. As soon as you feel a greater proximity between you and the Lord, and there's something bothering you on the inside, when you sense it's the Lord that is speaking to me, it's God that's putting that tension in, don't just let it go and say, "Well, I'll take care of it next week." No, no. You jump in the ocean and go for it. In fact, this is what Peter is saying. When you are frustrated about your faith and there is a distance in your proximity with him and you sense a tension and it's the Lord and you know it's God speaking to you, here it is. Would you write number one? Man, do whatever you need to, but get close to God. Do whatever you need to, but get close to God. He dove in. Whatever you got to do, scramble anything. Because what the devil is doing is he's cooling your faith into being lukewarm. It's sort of like this. If you have a bunch of hot embers and you take a tong and you take one of the embers and you put it on the hearth or the side of the fireplace, very quickly that lonely, that isolated piece of coal will cool. But if you take some tongs and you put it back in with the other embers close to where they should be, designed to be, all of a sudden, whew, it just goes back to red again. See, the enemy would love to isolate you and then make it feel like normal. That's the way it should be. When you sense a distance between you and God, I tell you, do whatever you need to get back. And that includes church. There's going to be times you're going to be frustrated with your faith and you'll feel like, oh, I don't want to go to church. And you'll start to avoid Christians. You start to avoid church. When that happens, redouble your efforts to get here. You know why? Listen, the devil cannot read minds. Now, the Bible says that the Lord knowing their thoughts, so God can read our thoughts and he knows our hearts. But that's not something, an ability given to the adversary of our souls. However, remember this, although he can't read minds, the devil is still a very strategic terrorist. He is like a sniper for your souls. Now remember that the way he gets back at our Father, when Jesus defeated the devil on the cross, he wants to get back at our Father. Well, he can't. So the only way he can in his insidious mind is to get back at the Father by taking down his kids, destroying your marriage, destroying your family, destroying your future, destroying your faith. And in doing so, he says, that's my trophy. What do you think now? You see, that's his insidious way of getting back at the Father. So he, the adversary of our soul, is like a sniper on you. And he knows when you're frustrated with your faith, it's an opportune moment for him to get you in a distance with God, a distance relationship with God, and then make you feel normal about it. Then he pushes you a little further. The tension is there. Is that God on the shore calling me? I don't know. And then you don't deal with it. And if you don't do whatever you need to get back to God and get close to him, you cool in this position and harden there. And then the distance remains because that's just how it is. Well, here's the enemy. He doesn't know your thoughts and he can't read our hearts. But if you avoid church, watch this. The devil reads my notes. He sees what's on my computer. He can read my message right now. Now hear this. Because he knows where you are and you're frustrated with your faith because he's a sniper and he plots your life out and he knows exactly where you are and he watches your ways so that he can nail you. And if he knows that what's about to be said is going to somehow for you connect the dots and answer a question that you've been frustrated about. And he sees that. You watch, there's going to come a morning where you're going to get up and you'll have every excuse in the world why you don't need to go to church. You'll get up and he'll provide plenty of excuses. You'll get up, oh, my back sore, oh, my neck sore, my eyeball sore, everything sore today. Oh, I don't think I like going to church. Okay, I'm not going to church. And the devil says, I've got another trophy because I know what's going to be said is exactly what you need. So I'm going to give you every reason why you need to avoid church today. And he does that again and again until all the things God provided for you to heal you, you never hear, nor you never experience. Remember, we are poor because of the opportunities we will have missed. We are poor because of the opportunities we will have missed. And so when that happens, and I get up and I'm supposed to be at a Bible study or something, and I know there's just an inordinate amount of reasons for me to not go, I know something, there's spiritual warfare taking place. And you know what I do? I redouble my efforts. I don't care if I have to hitchhike there. I get there. And I cannot tell you how many times I walk out of one of those Bible studies or services and I think, what God just said to me is what I needed to hear. And I heal up a whole lot faster than others would. That's called resilience or bouncing back. And Peter leaves those lessons for us. And when he recognizes it's the Lord that's got an appointment with me, it's the Lord that's speaking to me in this distance away from him, he puts on his shorts and just starts screaming on the water. Now, there's going to be people that come to this church that are, like Peter, frustrated in their faith. And I just want to take a little short change of gears and let me just speak to us here at New Hope. When you see new people at New Hope, man, be kind, embrace them, and welcome them with genuine hearts. Because little do you know, that person may be frustrated in his or her faith, and it just took all the courage they could to muster up to just get here. And sometimes we'll look at them and think, who's that? Oh, I don't know that person. Or just like standing on the side. Which leave them alone, you know. No. Go up to them. Welcome them. Embrace them. And say, you belong here. You have an appointment with God today. I remember in the negative about 3 years ago, there was a person that sort of backslid and was not walking with God for a couple of years. And then one Wednesday night, this person that had not been around and had just kind of relapsed into his old ways shows up for our Wednesday night service. And I saw him at a distance come through the door. And I thought, wow, this is so exciting. And just then another person stepped in front of me that knew this person before they had relapsed and backslid. And when that person came through the door, this other person looked and said, hey, what are you doing here? I thought, no, that's the worst thing in the world to say. He probably just drove him right back out the other door. No, it behooves every single one of us to be the embrace of a prodigal son's father. Instead, we should have put a ring on his finger and a robe on him and embraced him and said, welcome home, welcome home. Because you don't know what they're going through. Just last year, there was a guy standing outside with his kind of arms crossed and looking around. And I thought, he's kind of on the edge, just kind of spectating. And I thought, maybe he's just here to criticize people. And I thought, no, come on. No man can come unto me unless the Father draws him, the scripture says. And I bet the Father's drawing him, even though his countenance doesn't look like it. So I walked up and I said, welcome to New Hope. First thing he said was, I don't know if I belong here. I said, okay. I said, why is that? He said, they found my mom. I said, good. Where was she? She said, well, they found her on the side of Cam Highway. She was murdered. Someone put her in a blanket and dumped her. And I came to church, but I don't know if I belong. And I thought, you belong. I said, come on in. You have an appointment with God. You see, we don't know what's going on. And that's why it's so important for every single one of us that when God brings people here, like we were once, to make sure that we go and embrace and the love and the care. And that little ministry of yours may be the grandest ministry on a Sunday morning that will take place, because it'll welcome that person in because he has an appointment with God. Well, each of us are going to go through times where we're frustrated with our faith and doubts settle in and we think we'd like to go back to try on our old grave clothes again. And it's then that you'll hear the voice of the Lord speaking, come on, come on. And you won't know, is that God at first? You won't know, but it'll be Him. You'll have an appointment with God. So the first thing is, when you know God's tugging at your heart, do whatever you can to get close to God again. The second thing is, when Peter gets onto the shore, Jesus has some fish cooking on a charcoal fire, and he's dripping wet, and he sits across from him, and the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? He asks him the question. Now remember, Peter was one of his best friends who had just denied, who had betrayed Jesus, not once, not twice, but how many times? Three times denied the Lord. And instead of saying, why did you deny me? That's what I would have said. I would have looked at him and said, hey, idiot. How come you denied me, you turkey? You betrayed me when I needed you. No. You know what the Lord did? He just looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, he wanted Peter to say it. Lord, I love you. He said, then tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me more than these? And he points to the fish. Do you love me more than what you used to be? Do you want to be what you used to be, or do you want to be the new you? Because it's going to require a greater love to transition back. Well, not just a discipline, or it'll require some of that, but it'll require a greater sense of love. And you need to say that. I tell you, one of the most important things you can do is when you feel frustrated with your faith, is start, here it is, would you write it number two, confess your love for God. Just confess your love for God.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Peter, An Appointment with God by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and Aloha.
Hope is alive for Maui. Join us for Hope is Alive, a special benefit concert for Maui featuring NHO Music and Dance, 24/7 Dance Force, and Honolulu Dance Studio on Friday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at New Hope Oahu on Sand Island Access Road. Then, join us on Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, September 10th at 9 and 11 a.m. for New Hope's 28th anniversary services. To discover more, visit enewhope.org. And would you always remember that even today, hope is alive.